Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with Morehead State University head softball coach, Samantha Jones. Coach, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you were appointed to the head coach's position back in July. So first of all, I want to say welcome, Morehead.
Thank you.
How are you finding the campus community so far?
Oh, they've been amazing. It's a big family here, and every single person that I've met, every single business that we've went into has just welcomed us with open arms, not only my whole staff, but just the whole team. So it's been a great introduction to Morehead.
Yeah, good, good. Now, we before we get into your coaching experience, I want to talk a little bit about your own athletic career, which actually began in New York.
I was interested to read.
Tell me a little bit how you became interested in the game.
Oh, gosh. That actually goes back to when I was 4 years old up at my grandmother's house. My grandmother had one of those huge orange plastic bats just laying around in the garage. And my dad took me outside and he goes, hey, if you hit a ball, you know, on top of the roof, I'll go get you some ice cream. And would you know, it just happened to go over the roof and I got some ice cream. And ever since then, I was like, okay, I kind of like this sport.
So you were aiming high at the very beginning.
Yeah. I was trying to hit that home run. I need that ice cream. I'm a big ice cream lover. So,
and that still sticks around.
All the way through high school and college and even today.
It's interesting what motivates us.
Right?
Now, you were a standout player in high school.
Oh, thank you.
And then ended up signing to play at University of Kentucky.
Yes.
What made you want to come to Kentucky from being from New York?
Yeah.
What brought you to the Bluegrass?
You know, when I went on my visit, I was really wanting a place that kind of felt like home, a place where I felt home with the team and obviously the coaching staff, which, you know, unfortunately the coaching staff left, but I was welcomed in with the new coaching staff, Coach Lawson, Coach Himes, who are still there right now. But, you know, to have the opportunity to play in one of the best conferences in the country, the SEC, as well as, you know, being at a high Division I program, you know, the team wasn't where it was at. You know, it was probably mediocre. And to give the opportunity to bring it to a whole nother level was something that was pretty appealing to me. And I wanted to be a part of a strong foundation that could build up to, you know, the sky's the limit, in which they have proven day in and day out, the current teams and the future teams of, you know, their standout athletes and their standout team in the SEC. And every year they're making a run to the World Series. And so not only am I proud to be a Kentucky alum, but just it was such an honor to play there for, you know, under Coach Lawson and Coach Himes.
Now, your senior year at UK, you helped your team advance to the Super Regional, which kind of capped off a great career.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful experience,
absolutely.
I'm sure. Now, at that time, did you know that you wanted to coach?
No. My plan was actually to be a phys ed teacher. It was to be a phys ed teacher and a high school coach. And honestly, my path was redirected. And thankfully, I was able to receive an opportunity at Asbury University, which is where I got my first stint as an assistant coach, which then evolved into a head coach for 4 years there. And thankfully, you know, Coach Correll gave me an opportunity at Miami University as an assistant coach for 2 years. And, you know, this position opened up. And, you know, I saw a great opportunity to not only come back to Kentucky, but to build this program to a championship caliber. And, you know, that's the goal for us in the years to come here.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went into coaching over at Asbury, mm-hmm. I'm sure with your plan to be a high school coach and a teacher, kind of flipped. What did you have to approach differently as far as teaching coaching on a collegiate level?
You know, it was kind of special for me because the coaching kind of came right out of me playing. You know, I was able to coach within the next semester that I graduated. And so I was still fresh of learning from Coach Lawson and Coach Himes as a player and kind of seeing like how camps were run and, you know, how things that maybe we would have wanted taught at the collegiate level. And so you still kind of had the mindset of an athlete. And so you're able to bring those type of fundamentals and skill instruction to those athletes then. But I will say, you know, it did take me a couple of years to really figure out the coaching aspect, the collegiate coaching aspect. And, you know, that was going through a lot of shadowing and mentoring of Coach Lawson and other elite college coaches, you know, really taking an ownership and trying to go to the NFCA convention, which allowed me to learn from a lot of the greats, which would help, you know, help my athletes at that time to better receive instruction from me because I was more well-developed in those areas because of everybody.
Right. It's definitely, even as a coach, is still a team sport.
Absolutely. So. Yes. Yeah. I was always telling my staff, I was like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you all. Like, you all do almost all of the work, and you really help this current team out, you know, much more than any other coaching staff that I've been a part of. And so this has been an amazing journey for us. And, you know, I'm so close with my staff right now, and they do such an amazing job in the office, but outside the office, on the field. I mean, they're just great people. You know, they're great role models for our women and our athletes. And it's just something special to have that on a staff.
Absolutely. It's good to have a good group behind you for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to Miami University, it was to serve as an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave you, I guess, an opportunity to kind of mentor under a different head coach.
Absolutely.
For a while. But did the shift, I mean, what was the change there? Were there anything that was difficult for you to mm-hmm. face when you moved over?
You know, I think just the changing going from Kentucky to Ohio was different because I've never lived in any other state other than New York and Kentucky. And so that was a little bit of a change, a little bit of a culture shock just coming to Miami University. But, you know, under the leadership of Coach Corral, like, I had great support, great mentorship. She taught me a lot of good things when it came to, you know, pitching and hitting and just how to lead the right way. And so I really appreciate my opportunity that I had there with her, but also with the athletic department. And so still to this day, like, I still hold a piece of love and honor in my heart because of what they gave me and what they helped me to bring mm-hmm. To my future job.
Now, when the opportunity arose for you to come here, I mean, mm-hmm. did you go, where's Morehead?
No, you know what? Actually, I knew where Morehead was. Actually was recruited here before I decided to go to Kentucky. And so this was a decision that I chose University of Kentucky. But no, I knew where Morehead was. I knew it was, you know, a small hometown feel. But like I said, they kind of welcomed me in as a family. And I just really appreciate the community as a whole of just accepting me, accepting our team, and everything we're really trying to do for this campus and this city.
Now, is it difficult for you? You went from assistant coach, head coach, assistant coach. Now you're back to head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The flip flop. What is there benefits to doing that?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good learning experience. For me, you know, as a head coach at Asbury, it was awesome. Like, I really loved my time there. I loved my team. I loved just the university in itself. You know, but for me, I knew it was time for me to understand what it took to serve and what it took to follow before I can lead again in the right way. And I think that's really why I wanted to take that next step to Miami is, you know, under Coach Corral, like, she's a great leader. And so I was able to learn how to be the best leader I can in that specific position as an assistant coach. And then when my time was to come, then I would have the opportunity again to lead somewhere else. And obviously it happens to be here at Morehead, which I'm ecstatic to be here.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this. So I look for you.
Amanda Shires joins us on the next Mountain Stage, along with The War and Treaty, Titer, Byron Isaacs, and Israel Nash.
Hi, this is Amanda Shires. Join me this week in live performance on Mountain Stage.
Saturday evenings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Okay, we're back here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're talking today with Morehead State University head softball coach Samantha Jones. Thanks again for being here, Coach.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about campus life here. It seems like every time I see you on campus, you have the entire team with you and your entire staff. I mean, it's like a little tribe moving around, and you guys are together. But that's it. The official season is mm-hmm. still months away. So what are you guys into at this point?
Gosh, you know, honestly, we're practicing a lot and weights and conditioning, you know, but the biggest thing we're really focusing on this fall is coming together as a team and serving others. And so probably a lot of people have seen us around is just serving our community in different ways, whether it's at fall festivals for the schools or whether it's helping different homeless shelters or the soup kitchen. And so we've really taken the ownership of giving back to others because it's understanding the value of how to serve and just gaining respect in the community. Because honestly, at some point in time in the spring, that becomes your fan base. And so you want to show people that you want to build these relationships and help them in any way that you can. And And maybe at one point in time, you're using them as resources to help you, you know, get further in your education or get further in your potential occupation. And, you know, you always want to continue to build relationships wherever you go. And, you know, I'm trying to get the team to understand is these people here, this community is, you know, we really try to embody that one town, one team motto that mm-hmm. the athletic department has come up with. And I think so far the girls have done an amazing job with that. You know, just investing their time and their energy and their passion into the community and really trying to show their support to them, because that's big time. Because, you know, at some point in time, we're going to need some support back when it comes to playing games in the spring. And I can guarantee you we're probably going to have that from the community just because of all the relationships the girls have been building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some friends who have daughters who are playing softball in the younger years, so they're super excited to come out and see the team this year. Well, let's talk a little bit about the team.
Yeah.
Who are your returning veterans that are back this year? I knew they're all new to you.
Yes. So we have two seniors. We have Cheyenne and Aubrey, and then we have a good-sized junior class. I actually think we have it's 11 to 12 underclassmen. So, you know, more than half the team is freshmen and sophomores. And we've got a couple of transfers, Alexis and Randy, you know, Lindsay Anderson, Cassie Griffin, Elena Bissell. You have Callie Coleman, Bella Carey Carey. I mean, I can go on and on about the whole team. But, you know, you've got a good senior group, like I said, Shy and Aubrey. And you've got some good leaders out there like Allison Davis and Cassie Griffin. Lindsay Anderson's doing a great job. And, you know, we're just really proud of where the team has come from in August. Just like I said, we've started at a really low foundation, and the girls have been building up every single week. And what I'm most proud of is the amount of dedication and work that they're putting in the weight room and the conditioning. I know it's not something that's really easy, but it's something that every elite program is doing to give them the extra advantage when it comes to game time. And, you know, we always try to talk to them about the weight room and the conditioning. It's, yes, you can do it physically, but the biggest thing is, can you do it mentally? Can you get through it on your hard days? Because that's the hardest time, is getting on that line and, you know, pushing through the 50 or pushing through the 100 yards, because you could physically do it. You could always do an extra rep. You could always do an extra 30 seconds, but can you mentally do that? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we have a breaking point. And, you know, with this team, I don't think we've reached that yet. And which is an awesome thing, is because there's so much more potential that we have. Mm-hmm. But I've been so proud, and our staff has been so proud of what they've accomplished so far in the weight room, as well as on the turf for conditioning. They've been doing, you know, amazing things in there and making huge strides of, you know, gaining reps and gaining weight and just, just blowing numbers out of the water. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of them for that.
Now, with this team, is with the new people, are these people that you were able to recruit, or are these young women in the kind of same situation that you were in mm-hmm. when you went to college, where you were recruited by one group and you're serving under a different group?
Yeah, very similar to when I played at college. There, like I said, there's only two that transferred in with me, and that was Randy Hamilton and Alexis. But the rest of them were kind of, we just all embodied who was already here. You know, mm-hmm. we just made that investment. So, I mean, like I said, it's been a great group. Of these women, you know, they're very well-mannered, they're strong, independent, smart women, and they're athletic. And mm-hmm. so it's been honestly a blessing for us to receive the amount of athletes that we have on our team. And we have a roster of 20, and that's a pretty big roster compared to a lot of other schools, you know. But, you know, we feel the depth of it is strong, and that's what's going to continue to keep us going, you know, in the 7-inning game, and then take a break and you got another 7 innings, or even happens to go 9, 10, 12 innings, whatever it may be. So mm-hmm. the group is good. It's a strong group.
Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit about your pitching staff.
Yeah.
I know that's, I'll admit that baseball and softball are not really my game.
Right.
that's not the ones that I'm itching to watch on TV.
I understand,
But I have covered it before. I do understand. And I know that having a deep bullpen is important. So let's talk a little bit about your pitchers.
Yeah. So we have a staff of, and I'll just go through them. We have Sarah King, Megan Murphy, Lakin Largent, Randy Hamilton, Cheyenne Meyer, and Alexis Strother. So we have a staff of six pitchers. And what's great about them is we're not expecting them all to go 7 innings. You know, we want them to understand we're utilizing them as a staff. And so a couple innings here, a couple innings there, we see a hitter's weakness. Come on and throw in, whether it's your changeup or your curveball, whatever it may be. So we're going to use this year as more as a staff. I mean, I've seen in college, it's a lot of teams are doing that now. And, you know, it's hard as hitters because as a hitter, you go up there and you're thinking that you're going to face the same pitcher at least three times for yourself. And the first time you give it to the pitcher, granted, because it's they have the advantage over you. But the second time it's kind of even. But by the third time, it should be the hitter's advantage because you've seen her now a couple times, not only in your at-bat, but you've seen her in the dugout while on deck. But if you keep rotating pitchers, you're never going to be able to have that advantage because your timing may be off. The pitcher's throwing different pitches. She may be a lefty compared to a righty, has different speeds, different types of pitches. And so I think we really want to use that to our advantage this year is each and every single one of them has a strength, and we want to play those strengths into our games when it comes to springtime. So hopefully it's an advantage for us.
That's going to be a big defensive advantage.
Yeah, yeah, so hopefully.
Let's talk about offense a little bit.
Yeah.
How are you, now you have a history of hitting the home run since you were four, and on through your collegiate career. But what are your big hitters? Who are your big hitters this year?
You know, I'm really dependent upon Cheyenne Meyer, you know, Aubrey Bennett, a freshman Peyton Slater, freshman Princess Valencia, freshman Elizabeth Lindsay, the transfer Alexis, you know, Callie Coleman, Lindsay Anderson, Randy, Cassie Griffin. You know, those are the big hitters that we have. But what's great about our team is everyone has a specific role. So you've got your hitters that are our home run hitters, but then you've got our individuals like Peyton Rose and Aubrey Bennett that, hey, you're our singles, you're our contact, you're our slappers. I just need you to get on base so we can have our other hitters move you around and then our other hitters score you. So for us, we have about three different types. You got your RBI hitting, you got your singles slash contact, and the other one is, you know, your doubles or you get on any way that you can. You're getting hit by pitches. You know, you're getting the on-base percentage high. You know, Helena Bissell is another good power hitter that we have. And so Sarah Halleck is a great just, you know, touch-and-go type of hitter. And so we're very versatile in the lineup. It's just a matter of using it effectively and get the snowball rolling in the right way, which the team has proven to do that with their quality at bat percentage. You know, we've kind of noticed if we can have a quality at bat percentage above 45 to 50%, we're looking at a pretty good chance of winning the ball game. I mean, so that's something we've really tried focusing on this fall is, you know, hey, you don't have to get a hit every single time to be successful in your at-bat. If you just move your runner, if you sacrifice yourself, if you get hit by a pitch, that's a quality at-bat. You know, we just want to get you on base or move runners into scoring position to give us a better chance of scoring runs at the end of the day. So,
right. So it's the overall picture that's important.
Right, exactly. The scoreboard.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about recruiting. Have you been doing that already for next year?
Two of our coaches, so Coach Wonderly and Coach O'Malley actually just went out this past weekend in St. Louis and DeMarini for the big showcase that they had up there. And, you know, we'll be heading down to Scenic City, Chattanooga, the first weekend of November. But you know, we'll be able to recruit a couple of times in November, but then also we'll recruit in the summertime too, which is a little bit more open, not restricted on the NCAA rules. But what's good for us is, you know, we're able to host camps at our campus, whether it's at our field or Laughlin Gym or the Eagle Center. And so we just have a great locations to be able to host these events. And, you know, that's where we get a lot of interest, you know, from maybe even from the local girls, but then also just from athletes from different areas, maybe the boundary states. And, you know, that helps us get an opportunity to just see them a little bit more one-on-one, you know, talk to them a little bit there on their mechanics or their skill work, and it gets them on campus. You know, that's the biggest selling point is we got to get you on campus. And if you feel like it's a fit here and you feel like this is a potential home and get you in front of our girls and you really enjoy them, then we can continue to move forward in the recruiting process. But it's hard to automatically recruit somebody out at a tournament without bringing them on campus for an unofficial or official visit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the rule change here, us only speaking to juniors, you know, September 1 of the junior year, it's been really helpful for us of creating a depth chart for our recruiting from, you know, the 9th, 10th, you know, 11th graders, even the 8th graders at this time, unfortunately. But it just gives the athlete, you know, their prospective student athlete, a time to really hone in on what feels like home for them and to find themselves a good fit, but also the same thing for us. And so I really am respecting and loving this new rule that we have, because it just gives us more time, which, you know, time is in essence, you know, sometimes you don't really always get that. And it's big in recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit about your fall practices. Yeah. I know you guys have been conducting those. And now, are those over at this point, like your official practices? I know you still are doing the weight lifting and the conditioning.
The official team practices are. So we just actually finished our 20-hour weeks where we had the ability for the girls to continue to do their weights and conditioning, which they'll finish that out through December, about an hour a day, Monday through Friday. And then, you know, the 20-hour weeks allowed us to have around 3 hours a day to have a team practice and, you know, scrimmage and really work on some good skill instruction, but also some of the plays that we may have. And now we just transferred over into our 8-hour weeks. So we get a lot of good individual work. Now our small groups, whether it's 4 or 5 people in a group, we get some time just to really spend some quality time with them and break down their fundamentals and things that we saw this past fall in team practice and kind of really hone on the these are the things that we really need to work on defensively and offensively, you know, pitching, catching, all that good stuff. So I love team practice because I love seeing the girls work together and really get better in our situations that we come up with. But I really do enjoy individual because it gives us a time to just get to know each other better, the hitters, the pitchers, and the defense, and just work a little bit more on their specific skills to make them the better athlete and the better team member for the spring.
Now, when do you guys get to start that up again?
Team practice?
Mm-hmm.
Not till January.
Okay.
Yeah, so we started individuals actually last Friday or Thursday, and we'll go to individuals up until the week of Thanksgiving, and then they have off because obviously dead week and finals, and then we don't see them again until the first day of school in January, which I think is January 14th, and that's when we start team practice up again, and then our first game is February 8th through 10th, that first weekend. Mm-hmm. So you only have really about a month before you get to kick into gear. So that's why it's so important to work on these skills now. Mm-hmm. But then also for the girls, you know, to go back and during Christmas break and to continue to work on their skills. So when we come back in January, we're ready to go.
Now, when will we know about your schedule for the spring?
Yeah, hopefully the schedule will be released probably the next couple of weeks. Definitely want it before Thanksgiving for everybody. And the same thing with our poster. We actually have our pitchers coming up. I think it's this Friday, and so we'll get our poster out and definitely get it out in the businesses like they've been doing, paint it gold and blue in the town, so we definitely want to do that, maybe pair up with baseball or somebody, and just continue to show our support for them, but also for them to have an opportunity to see if they want to come out to some games.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. And real quick, we've got just about a minute left, and I wanted to see, I know you guys have been doing a lot of philanthropy. Have you got anything that's in the works right now?
As far as community service events, we have tomorrow the girls are actually working with Gateway to pick up and drop off stuff for the homeless shelter. And then we're actually working the fall festival this Friday at the Christian Academy. And I'm telling you, next week, I told the girls, I said, I just want you to know, next week is full of community. So it's giving back to the community. We've got, say, Buddha Drugs. You know, we're helping with that. We're helping with Clearfield, their school, their fall festival. We have a Halloween party that we're throwing for the girls just to have some fun. But like I said, we're really just trying to give back to the community, even try to go over to St. Clair's and really just spend some time over there as well.
Great. Well, we appreciate all that you're doing, and we are looking forward to your spring season.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. We'll see you next Friday.